Hey guys, so today on the show, we're gonna do things a little bit differently. As you know, normally I am joined by a too much to handle listener who asks a question and then we bring in an expert to discuss the topic and help my amazing listener and us all live bigger and live better. But today I'm gonna mix things up. We are living in a time of uncertainty and anxiety and fear. As a global pandemic ravages through our cities, our communities, and the world, a lot of us are feeling really scared and stressed right now, including myself, honestly. Fortunately, I am young and healthy, but I fear for my grandparents. I fear for my friends who are immunocompromised. I fear for the people in my community. So today on the show, I am going to be the one who asks the question because frankly, I do not have the answer. So my question is, how can we practice self-care in self-quarantine?
When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle.
I am so excited to welcome self-love coach Paul Fishman to the show to help me answer my question. Now, Paul Fishman is a lauded self-love coach and you do you activist, and he's on a mission to empower and inspire humanity to love unconditionally, something I think we could use a lot more of right now. Now, prior to Paul's self-love awakening, he was a people pleaser. He lived in fear of other people's opinions and sacrificed himself for others. Now, it wasn't until he decided to speak his truth nearly 10 years ago that he finally realized that living life for anyone but himself was never going to make him happy. Hey, Paul.
Hi.
Hi. First of all, how are you holding up with all of this that is going on in the world right now?
Well, I mean, just trying to keep a smile on my face. I am really leaning into things that bring me joy, like Instagram dance parties and showing up for my self-love coaching clients and my community. Mm-hmm. And also, I think this is like a really great time for me to commit to doing the things I've always wanted to do, but have never had the quote unquote time to do them. So I'm just viewing this as a big opportunity to lean in to all of the things that I've been putting off, which are quite a few things.
I feel you on that one. I wrote a list of the things that I wanted to accomplish during this self-quarantine. And one of them was like, write my book and like all of these other huge ideas. So hopefully those will get done, but we'll find out. I also put do my nails. So, you know, big and small. I'm curious, why is self-care so important right now?
This is a great question. Now, before I hop into that, I really want to break down what the definition of self-care is and why it's so often confused with self-love. And this is a major breakthrough that I've helped a lot of people have that I'm excited to share with the Too Much to Handle crew as well. So self-love and self-care cannot happen without the other, but they are very, very different as well. So self-love, let me start there. As I define it, the self is the individual and love means devotion. So it's getting devoted to your individuality. And as you said in the introduction of me, I started getting devoted to myself nearly 10 years ago. So this is a mental act, right? Self-care is a physical act. It's taking care of yourself, okay? So more often than not, when you're scrolling through the gram or you're on social media and you see the hashtag self-love, and I actually would even challenge you if you're listening to this to pull up your Instagram and search hashtag self-love, a lot of these acts that people are talking about are actually self-care, like buying a new handbag, or what you said, Hannah, getting your nails did. Mm-hmm. Like, these are self-care acts because they're something we are doing for our physical body. Now, what people run into an issue is that they find that if they're saying self-love during the self-care act, but they're not actually loving themselves, mm-hmm. it is totally self-destructive in that self-care. When what I'm talking about is like going and buying an expensive handbag when you're putting it on a credit card and you're actually putting yourself into a financial turmoil, or going and getting your nails done. And while you're getting your nails done, all you're thinking about is everything that you should be doing at that time, instead of really leaning into, I'm buying this handbag because I worked hard and I deserve it, or I'm getting my nails done because I am giving myself the permission to relax and take care of me. So the question is, why is self-care really important? Because now more than ever, we have a lot of extra time on our hands. It's unknown how long we are going to be pushed to practice self-distancing, and we could potentially all be put into quarantine. Who knows? And the reality is here that it is now your opportunity to really get in touch with your body. A lot of us have not been living in our body. A lot of us have just been going, buying money, using money to buy things, numbing ourselves out with Instagram and Netflix and all this other content. And sooner or later, especially when we're faced with this impending, who knows when we're going to be able to go back to life as it used to be, mm-hmm. we're going to get tired of doing the same things over and over again because our thoughts are going to start going crazy. So a lot of us, or most of us who are listening to this, have access to some self-care things that they can do. Washing your hands can be something super therapeutic and self-care. And what I would empower you to do is, while washing your hands under that 20 second, is repeating a little mantra that's super easy and super easy to do. And it can take you around 20 seconds. And I'm going to do it for you now. And if you're, and Hannah can see me on Zoom right now, like moving my hands. But here's the mantra. I give myself permission to be okay with where I am. I honor the journey and know that I am doing my best. I love and accept you. I love and accept you. I love and accept you. And that in itself is bringing the self-care of washing the hands with the mental act of self-love. And if you're like, wait, I didn't have time to write that down. That's cool. You can go to my website, paulfishman.love, sign up for my email newsletter, and I'm going to send you that right into your inbox so you will have it, that beautiful mantra that you can print out or write on your mirror or whatever.
You know what's interesting is I was not washing my hands while you did that, but even just hearing you say it, I felt a sense of calm come over me. So I think that's really important to have a self, like a sort of mantra that you repeat to yourself. I meditate every morning. So this morning I just was reminding myself, I am healthy. The ones I love are healthy. My community is healthy. We are whole, you know, trying to remind yourself and really reinforce that calming sense that it's all going to be okay, right? And that's all we can do right now in this state of uncertainty. And speaking of this state of uncertainty, I'm going to be honest, like there's probably a lot of people that are listening to this right now and are like, how the heck can you be thinking about yourself, self-care, during a time like this that's selfish? What is your response to that, Paul?
Well, Hannah, I'm going to push you on that statement that a lot of people make around self-love and self-care being selfish. I'm just going to throw out another question. If you're not showing up for yourself, how can you expect to show up for other people? If you are not taking the time for you, how are you going to ever be able to hold space for others to fill up your energy tanks? Yeah. A lot of, like, I work with a lot of moms who I challenge to spend as much time as they can alone. And this is a really, really tough thing for a lot of people to hear, because it's like, wait, you're telling me to spend all my time alone when I'm a stay-at-home mom, or I only have a certain amount of time with my kids. Why would I do that? It's to start creating those boundaries. Self-care is not selfish. Self-care is a boundary that you create with you to protect your energy.
Yeah.
And in this time, it is so important because it's so easy to get stuck in your head and to spiral out of control. Whereas if you give yourself permission to do the one thing that you know gets you into your body and gets you present, that is the complete opposite of selfishness. That is almost, I would argue, selfless.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you cannot pour from an empty cup. And I always love that phrase because it's such a good visual of why we should take care of ourselves. And also, if not selfish, I mean, it can be selfishly, but also for your loved ones and for your community, making sure that you're taking care of yourself means that you're boosting your immune system, which right now is importante. Now, I'm curious about the flip side of that, right? So what about people who are prioritizing themselves? They're prioritizing their health, but maybe their friends, maybe their family are telling them, oh, calm down. You're taking this too seriously. It's okay to go to bars. It's okay to go to restaurants, maybe making fun of them for being so ridiculous about all of this. How do they break free from, you know, trying to people please in this current climate?
This is a really interesting question and really potent, especially right now, as you said. I struggled for a very, very long time and still to this day struggle with this idea of boundaries and kind of like putting on noise canceling headphones to people who are trying to keep me from my bliss, from my joy, from taking care of me. More often than not, when people are saying these things, there's two things that can be happening. Either they are projecting their own feelings onto you, saying, oh man, I wish that I had the strength and courage to step out of the social norm and take care of myself. I wish that I had the courage to ditch my addiction to being around people constantly so that I can avoid really feeling and slow down, right? That can be one thing. The other thing that can be happening is that these people are trying to invalidate their feelings by making you invalid as well. So in the sense of like, here I am and I see that my parents are, or this is a very real example for me. Right now, my husband is at work and I'm really angry that his company is still making him go to work. He's a manager, he's a supervisor, and they just don't have the infrastructure for everyone to work from home. He can work from home, but he has to be a leader in this time. Yeah. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, how could they do this? How could they do this? This is so horrible because I don't understand it. And then I'm like calling all the people, being like, can you believe that my husband's company is making him go to work and he's putting my life at danger? And now I have to wait 2 weeks before I could go and see my parents because we have to quarantine and make sure that I don't have all this stuff. And I could get really angry about it, right? Or I could just relax and be like, listen, what his company is doing, they're doing their best, right? They're literally like this big company reading the mantra that I shared earlier. They're doing the best that they can. Because a lot of these businesses weren't set up for this. I have not experienced anything in my lifetime, especially being a privileged white male. I have not experienced anything like this. There are countries that have been going through stuff like this for years that we've had our horse blinders on to. And it's really important to know that. But at the same time, like here I am just trying to invalidate what this company is doing because it makes me uncomfortable. And that's really what it comes down to.
Interesting. Yes, I'm in a similar situation where I feel like every time I come in contact with somebody who's not following the rules that I believe or the CDC believes are, you know, the way to carry this, I'm like, okay, well now that means 14 more days until I can go see my parents, my grandparents, right? So I feel like every day I'm starting from square one. But what's been angering me, and I'm curious to hear your response, because I'm really, during this time, I'm scared, I'm stressed, I'm anxious, but I get really, really angry, which is not a normal state for me, but I'm spending time on social media, on the gram, and I'm seeing, I mean, not now as much with the new changes to the law, but I'm seeing people out at bars. I'm seeing people make jokes about social distancing and like being all over each other, having house parties. And I'm like, how could you be so selfish? How could, because it's not, I'm not inviting them into my home. It's not about me. I'm like, you're going to go out. You're going to you could get something, right? You're around a bunch of people. Your chances are is that you could catch something. Maybe you won't feel it, but you touch the door handle that your 90-year-old neighbor then touches, or your HIV positive friend then touches. That's what has been angering me so much. And I don't know how to quell that anger.
Mm. Two things. The first thing is knowing that anger is a secondary emotion. Mm. Okay. It sits on top of fear. Well, really it sits on top of sadness, helplessness, and feeling alone. Okay. So what is underneath that anger? Probably helplessness. And humans are not built to cope with helplessness, right? I feel like my hands are tied. That is the first thing. So it's naming that you are angry, but underneath that, you're just feeling helpless because you can't control other people.
And that's so hard for us, like type A control people who want to make sure that like there's a plan. We're all taking the necessary precautions. And that's how I am in my daily life already. And I think I have a lot of friends who are feeling that exact same way. That's very interesting because we're feeling helpless.
Yeah. And also to talk about control a little bit, I find that when I fall into the need to control, it's because it's the unknown. And here's what I can control. I can control myself. I can control what I'm putting into my body. I can control the movement that I'm doing. I can control X, Y, and Z things about me. The rest of it, trying to control anyone else is just going to cause more internal conflict and anxiety and stress. And I actually did a podcast episode on my show, The Road to Self-Love, about this concept called masturbation. And I know it sounds a little naughty, but
okay, I know we're talking about self-love, Paul, but reel it in.
So it's replacing the A with a U, and it's an actual term coined by a psychologist. I can't recall his name right now, but if you search for masturbation as an epidemic on my show, I name my source. And masturbation is the act of projecting your shoulds onto other people, right? So for instance, right here now, you're like, well, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And all it is doing is causing more conflict than not. And I mean, we're in a constant flux of masturbation. The media loves to masturbate. Leadership in this country loves to masturbate. You know, everyone loves to masturbate because it's easier to place blame on others than point the finger back at yourself.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, I need like a moment to process that.
I mean, how good would it feel if you released the need to control what other people are doing, right? Regardless, your internal feelings are not going to change these people that you don't know. They aren't at the level where they're ready to cope with the idea that being at home, like this is what's bringing up for so many people, Hannah, is that we have to be at home with ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to work through shit that we have never had to work through before. There's only so many Netflix shows that we are going to be able to binge before our butt is glued to the sofa and we're just like, I have to move. But I've never wanted to exercise in my life, but now we have these people wanting to like move, right? Mm-hmm. And like fall into this feeling of just like, we have so much time on our hands to fully look in the mirror and be like, wow, what can I do differently right here and now to impact my life? Because we have two options. I feel like we're at a crossroads right now. We can come together collectively and understand that this is what we've all been waiting for. We have all been saying out loud, oh, I wish that I had time for you to write that book. Me, I wish that I had time to write the book. I wish that I had time to do X, Y, and Z. Like, I challenge you, if you're listening to this, to fill in the blanks. What do you wish that you've always had time to do? Well, guess what? The universe is giving you the time to do it right now. And if that isn't a silver lining, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. Wow. I think that that's very inspirational. I do want to get into like journaling, right? Getting into what you can do during this time to take care of yourself, to do the things that you've always been wanting to do, to practice self-care. But you mentioned the media, so I just want to ask a quick question about that. Let's talk about social media and the news. I think both, for me personally, have been really super helpful in spreading awareness and information. But they're also masturbating and spreading a lot of fear and anxiety. You know, I
love me a good coronavirus meme, but in the same.
The Cardi B song, have you heard it?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Coronavirus, getting real, coronavirus.
I wish you guys could see Paul dancing right now. But I at the same time, I feel like the constant scrolling has also really stoked me into this spiral into what ifs. And it's really impacted my personal mental state. I already talked about my uncontrollable anger at people at bars. How do we balance staying informed with falling into that spiral?
I have nothing, no qualms with people staying informed. And I'm just going to, once again, put this back on you, the listener, you, the one who's here looking for support around easing your anxiety during a time that's really unknown. Something to understand about the unknown is that our brain, the number one thing that our brain wants to do is survive. So how is our brain going to survive during a time that most of us have never experienced before? All our brain is going to be able to do is put past experiences and imprint them onto the future. So there are a couple of things that I have lived through that while I haven't personally been impacted by them, I've seen other people have been impacted, like Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy, the recession in 2008, right? These are all things that a lot of us have been through and somehow impacted. So right now we're putting all of those things that we've experienced and we are putting them on to what's currently going on. And by scrolling through all these social media things and seeing all the anxiety that's spewing, we are finding that A, we are a lot more connected than we thought, because this fear emotion, this fear mentality, I'm a real believer in, like, as an empathic human, and a lot of us are a lot more empathic, intuitive than we give on. And we're taking in all this information from energy, from our neighbors, and just like, I'm looking out and I don't really have a view of anything other than houses, and I don't see people out. I don't hear anything going on. And I'm just like, what's going on, right? And I could start freaking out. And then I look at my phone and I start scrolling through, and then I see businesses talking about things like normal and like ignoring it. And I'm just like, how could you do that? Like, I'm feeling alone here and you're trying to sell me like peach gummy worms. Like, what's going on, you know? And then like on the flip side, I know that like community is so important right now. And community is what we get to lean into. And that is, we're so blessed to have social media right now. Imagine if we were going through this like even 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Or maybe like 30 years ago, you and I couldn't be having this conversation, and there's really not as much ability to connect. And I'm finding so many people are coming to me being like, hey, I want to bring my business online. How do I do that?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm looking for a place to do X, Y, and Z online. Where do I go for resources? And it's just a time to know that, like, yes, You can scroll. Like my husband, bless his heart, he spent most of the weekend scrolling TikTok. Like, and mostly that's my fault, because I asked him to download TikTok because I was like, please download this because I want to do that dance that everyone's doing and I need you to watch it. And then he just like got lost. And I know that right now, like for some of us, that's the only way that we're going to be able to cope. Yeah. And listen, that's okay, right? Give yourself permission to be where you are. You don't have to do anything that doesn't feel good or feels wrong for you. Right now, you just got to get through. A lot of us are in fight or flight, and a lot of us don't want to acknowledge that we're in that.
Oh, I love that so, so much. So I want to just really underscore one of your points in really giving yourself permission to be where you are. Like giving yourself permission to be scared if you're feeling that way, giving yourself permission to try to maintain as much normalcy as you can. But I think that the core of it all is that we're in fight or flight, and some of us haven't even grasped what is going on, and that's okay. Like, it's going to be a process for everybody, and it's going to happen at different paces, and we have to be accepting of where we are And the hard part is accepting where other people are as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get into some actual ways that people can practice self-care and isolation. You talked about, you know, leaning into community, even if it's mm-hmm. on Instagram, as long as it's not, you know, mm-hmm. provoking a lot of anxiety for you. What are some other ways that people can really lean into to self-care while they're at home?
Right. So I of course, am going to empower you to take a piece of paper and write down ways that you can get creative. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm not creative. Okay, well, creativity means a lot of different things, right? So whether it's like you want to be like Hannah and you want to write that book, that's creative. Painting your nails, that's creative. Cooking, that's creative. Mm. Writing, singing a song while you're washing your hands, that's creative. Becoming the next viral TikTok star, learning that TikTok game, that's creative, right? Posting a story on Instagram, that's creative, right? How can you take your anxiety and transform it into creativity? And also, if you're looking for a community that is off of social media and something that feels more empowering and inspiring and uplifting and more like home, which is what I've really cultivated, I've decided in this time that it's more important for us to be together than to be alone. So I've opened up my self-love on-demand community, which I created an app for. So it's off of Instagram, it's off of Facebook. You don't have to wade through any of that nonsense. And I've created a free 7-day trial for this. And what that looks like is every week I go live on Zoom. I have a dance party to get us out of our head and into our body. Mm-hmm. And then we come together as community, and I feature people in the community who are doing things. Like I have a girl who is like a pro knitter, and she's going to teach everyone how to knit. Yeah. And also on top of that, I don't like the word lecture, but like I talk about like different topics that are going on in the community. So it's like this constant come together, and you can look forward to something during the week. And I just want everyone to be a part of it, because as we feel like we're socially isolated, we need to lean into communities that make us feel good. And that's why I think my community, Self-Love on Demand, is going to be very impactful going forward, because you can go on there. And today someone just asked, hey, what are some ideas for creative things that you're doing? I'd love to know what you're doing during these times. Another person was talking about like, hey, how are you creatively using that can of black beans that you've got? You know, like I'm like sick and tired of the ramen that I've been creating. And it's like this place where we can all crowdsource around self-love, self-care, and also just like being together. It's really, really cool. And if you're feeling like, oh my gosh, that sounds exactly what I want, you can go to members.selfloveondemand.com. So I think of it as like you can click a button and you can channel self-love on demand 24/7. It's always there for you.
I love that. We'll put a link to that in the description box so that everybody can join that community. You mentioned ways talking about creativity and channeling your anxiety into creativity. There's a lot of talk about watching Netflix. You mentioned it here, or whatever your preferred streaming platform might be. Are things like that part of self-care, like binging a show you've wanted to watch, or mindlessly watching, I don't know, you know, reruns of The Office, is that self-care?
Yes and no.
Tell
it depends. I mean, it's hard for me to generalize that statement, right? It's hard for me to say, because it wasn't COVID-19, but I had some sort of flu like 3 weeks ago. Mm. And I was like, all I wanted to do is just sit and relax. And because a lot of times our mind is the thing that's keeping us from actually relaxing. So I would empower you to sit down and watch maybe like Frozen, but not watch like a thriller or something like a horror movie, because that is putting your mind in like this, I'm so scared. Whereas Frozen's like, let it go, let it go. And maybe even Frozen might be a little too much. Like finding some like really fun.
I mean, Frozen 2, they had sing a whole song about going into the unknown. I'm like.
Yeah. So I didn't say Frozen 2, I said Frozen 1. So it's like they're being conscious of what you are consuming. right? Being conscious of what you're putting into your body. And like, there comes a point where I think that we are going to get into this place where, like, a couple of days ago, our Hulu account wasn't working. Like, I think that there was just, the servers couldn't handle the amount of people that were on watching. And sooner or later, we're all going to realize that we are all creators, not just consumers. And when it comes to creativity, what can you actually create? And we are going to have to get very, very resourceful. You know, a lot of people are saying that we're just at the beginning of this, especially because of the people who are instilling anger in you for being out and not taking this social distancing seriously, especially for businesses that aren't able to close their doors, right? Like, that's a whole nother thing. That if you are experiencing anxiety because you are in a service-based industry and you don't know how you are going to pay the bills, like, I am in that with you. I feel that. And now is your opportunity to start that Etsy shop or create something that's online and consumable. I would actually try and deter people from starting something that is like a goods-based service where you have to actually ship.
Yeah. Because
who knows? Who knows what's happening with that?
Well, too, I mean, if you have always had an idea of a business that you've wanted to start, maybe not saying, oh, I'm going to start a goods-based business, but go on YouTube, watch a tutorial, like start to educate yourself and prepare yourself for when maybe this ends, and be educating yourself in that way. I think about creativity and you say that, and I consider myself a creative, but I know a lot of people don't consider themselves creative. And I know you addressed that, but I just, like, my mind started going and I started thinking, like, of the things that I put down on my list. And one of them was working on teaching my dog Tucker tricks. I think that's a form of creativity, right? I'm coming up with a way of, you know, making him do my chores. Maybe I'll teach him how to, like, open doors and things that I wash my hands for me. But I think just sort of opening your minds to the vast array of things that may be creative in your own world, and in your own body. You know, I know people are having to get creative with how they're going to work out now that gyms are closing and things like that. So it's really just sort of thinking about how this will apply to you and where you're at, again, kind of like you're talking about. I have two more questions before I will let you continue on with your self-quarantine. Listeners who are caring for elderly parents or grandparents at this time, what is some advice for them to carve out time for themselves as well? Because I'm sure it's really hard right now to be extra vigilant. You know, you're out there trying to hoard your toilet paper and you're getting home and trying to take care of your parents and things like that. How can you also take a step back and take time to write a few paragraphs of your book or you know, dance around on the self-love on-demand app?
So first things first, you have to admit to yourself that you want to take that time. A lot of us just ignore it. And that, like, I don't need any time. I'm fine. I'm taking care of my parents. This is something that I agreed to. I get to do this. This is a privilege of mine. I can sacrifice myself, right? And this is where it's really, really important to A, notice that you're not, that you need that time, and or you're not willing to admit that you want that time. Mm-hmm. And then name it, like, say it out loud to yourself, or like write it down in your journal or on a piece of paper. Like, get very specific on what you need. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, I just wish that I had time away from my parents right now so that I could take care of myself. Okay, great, you can have that time, but what do you want to use that time for? Because when we set ourselves up to actually sit with the person that we get to ask permission, hey mom, I know that, like, you're really scared and it's soothing your anxiety to have me next to 24/7. Are you willing to support me taking 30 minutes on my own in the other room to just do a quick workout or something? Is that something you're willing to support? And this phrase, are you willing to, is so powerful because you are giving the other person the opportunity to say yes or no.
Yeah.
So if your mom says, well, yeah, sure, honey, then that's on her if she's not speaking her truth. you go do that thing. And then when she comes back, when, if something arises, because I know that a lot of people are like, well, you know, they're going to say yes because they want me to be happy. Okay, sure. I understand that. However, at the same time, that's on them. That's not on you, right? Yeah. A lot of the decisions that other people make is nothing to do with you, right? What we were talking about before, the people who are saying, you shouldn't worry about the coronavirus if you're fine. Like, that statement has nothing to do with you. That has everything to do with them trying to pull you back into making themselves feel better about their decisions. Right. So you get the opportunity to ask for what you want. A lot of us are too scared to ask for what we want because of rejection, fear of the unknown. Well, if my mom says that I can go work out, then what? I'm actually going to have to work out. I'm actually going to have to do a free YouTube workout. What? I'm actually going to have to do that. What does that look like? You know? And these are the deeper questions. There's always something underneath the unwillingness to change. And it's normally fueled by fear of the unknown, right? Because it's a lot easier to sit in the anxiety of not having something than actually going after and doing it. And that's where we are as a collective right now. Every single person who's listening to this probably has more time than they ever had to make their dreams a reality. Mm. Every single person. And if you are listening to this and you're like, I don't have any time, then ask for that time because you deserve that time. You are worthy of that time. You are worthy of it. So take it, because time is the only resource that we cannot get back. Time is the only resource that we cannot get back. Everything else, you'll be able to make more money. You will be able to find food. Like, I know that collectively we will come together regardless of how this goes, because this is what this is teaching me. Community. Community is key. And the willingness to look yourself in the eyes, in the mirror, and say, hey, I am worthy. I am worthy of living the life of my dreams. I'm worthy of getting permission right here now to do what I want from myself and the people that support me. It starts with worthiness.
I think that's so powerful and such an inspirational message during this time of uncertainty for so many people, using this as a silver lining to really cultivate that worthiness, that self-love, to cultivate the things you've always wanted to be doing, to cultivate creativity. So I thank you so, so, so much today, Paul, for taking the time for us. I know a lot of people really, really needed this right now. Guys, if you want to hear more from this unicorn of a human being, you can follow Paul on Instagram at Paul Fishman. You can also listen to his podcast, The Road to Self-Love. Again, I will put the link to selfloveondemand.com down below. He's offering free access for 7 days. So there's no reason not to sign up. Paul, please take care of yourself during this time of uncertainty. I know you will. If you guys have a question and want to be featured on the next episode, please send me a DM to @HannahCranston or email tmthshow@gmail.com. Again, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. Also, if you have a moment, please rate and review the podcast. It really does make a difference to us in the podcast world. And just a reminder, we'll be coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up, because it's going to be too much to handle. See you next week.